I have something tonight that is, I consider, very serious. The Lord gave me a message in Green Bank, a scripture that I had thought about many times through the years, but he never gave me any inspiration until then. First time I felt it real strong was in 1980. So you can see that's a number of years later. But this one here tonight is in a sense probably just about as serious as that one. And I'm begging the Lord to have mercy. I wish I could have been here for the whole meeting, but that wasn't possible. At least I got to be here for the last half. How many of you remember Brother Joe Fine, his wife Judy? I got a text from my nephew. He said, "How far are you from Melbourne, Florida?" I said, "Well, I'm thinking, no, I ain't very far." So I called Earl and talked to him about it. And he said, "Well, Joe and Judy live in Melbourne, and I've given him your phone number and told him to call you." And so Joe and Judy and I had a good time together for about probably 3 to 4 hours of chatting and talking about old times and stuff. And so they said to give all of you their love and hellos. So let's pray the Lord to bless them and help them. Let's look the Lord in a word of prayer. Our Father, we come to a great God tonight, a great living God. Lord, you know every one of us in this room. You know where we're at, how we stand. And we're looking to you, Lord, that you'll work with every heart in here. We need you. It doesn't matter what preachers are here. It doesn't matter who's here. We must have you here. And so, Lord, it's all about you tonight. And we're looking to you to work. I need you. Everyone in here needs you. So we're looking to you to work in a mighty way. Rebuke the devil, Lord. Send him out of here and down the road. And we're looking to you to have great mercy with liberty, freedom, and anointing. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. How many of you has ever been rejected? I could be wrong, but I dare say everybody in this room has had rejection in their life. It hurts. And that rejection, a lot of times, turns things totally to a way that can never be changed back. And there are different things that happen with rejection. And denied by burden is rejection. And I want to bring it down to, by the help of the Lord, we want to touch everybody in here. Because there could be somebody that's rejecting God tonight. Maybe several people's rejecting God. Maybe you're rejecting God on different angles and different things. But the bottom line is rejection is a serious thing that'll end up sending you to a devil's hell. It means to decline, deny, dismiss, affect, refuse, renounce, discard, eliminate, withhold, spurn. So tonight, these are different things. But the bottom line is, rejection is something that is very, very serious. Let's go to Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, please. And the first verse, 53 and 1 of Isaiah says, "Who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He had no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid it, as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken of God and afflicted." Now then, this is talking about Christ. And the bottom line is, he is despised. He is rejected of men. A man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He is despised, and we esteemed him not. Now tonight, Think about this. It's a prophecy, so to speak, if you want to call it that, of Christ. And it's saying here that he's despised and rejected. I could be wrong, but everybody that's ever been born into the world has rejected Christ at least one time. They rejected him. Because when you have a new plan, so to speak, or a new way, if you're a businessman or whatever, and you're starting something new, there's going to be people that's going to go like this. I don't want to have that. I don't like the sound of that. I don't want to have anything to do with that. I'm going to tell you, when Jesus Christ come to you the first time, did you wrap your arms around him and jump with joy? I didn't. I held him off for a while. I did not get saved for several months after he started dealing with me. I rejected him. I turned him around. Listen, folks, I could be wrong, but Christ is a person that he knows that he's going to be rejected. He knows you're going to reject him. He knows you're going to turn him down. But thank the Lord, the Jesus Christ, the righteous man of Galilee, that man tonight has never quit dealing with souls. He didn't quit dealing with you, or you wouldn't be here. He didn't quit dealing with me. And I appreciate his mercy tonight that he kept calling and kept working with me as I went through the deal. And the conviction got heavier and heavier. And finally I decided the best thing to do is take care of this. Rejected. He's a man rejected. All right, let's look at Luke 4 and 28 and 29. Back this up a little bit here. And they were all in the synagogue when they heard these things and were filled with wrath. And they rose up and thrust him out of the city, led him into the brow of the hill whereupon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way. Here it is. He come down here to a people, his own people, so to speak, the Jews. And he come down here, and I could be wrong, but he knew they were going to reject him. They knew they were going. He was going to be turned against and made fun of and all these different things. And they done it over and over and over. But what happened to them? Down the road, what happened to the Jews? I'm going to tell you, he destroyed them. He destroyed them by the thousands. Tonight, you and I do not want to reject Christ. You and I do not want to turn him down. Listen, this man is a man of love. This individual is an individual of power, authority, mercy, pity, compassion. He is one that loves your soul. He's the one that gave his life for you. He told me, no, I saw a vision. I died for you, child. He died for me and he died for you. He died for every one of us individually. And what really touched me was the fact that if there'd been nobody else on the earth, he would have still died for me. That's what gets your attention, Brother Jackie, is the fact that he died for you and he died for me, but he would have done it if there were nobody else around, because his love for mankind is so deep and so broad and so wide. It's a love that is infallible. It's eternal love. It's a powerful love. It's the greatest love that's ever been. And the bottom line, he died for you. And this Jesus is rejected, bless your heart, over and over and over. He comes along. He knocks on the heart's door. But the bottom line is, people don't want to change. People do not want to live the life that the Bible and Christ is asking them to live in. They don't want to do it. But listen, folks, today, somebody said, I'm happy here. I am too. I've been happy over 50 years because he come along and he dealt with me and called me and he saved me. And when he raised me from death to life, that was the thing that brought me up and out and put a joy and a peace and a love in my heart that I never had, praise God. And I've been happy and joyful, shouting and singing and praising God down through life. Tonight, have you rejected him lately? Have you rejected him in this meeting? Have you said, no, Lord, I'm not quite ready. I'm just not quite ready. The Jews rejected him. It got him into trouble. There's thousands upon thousands right now that's rejecting Christ, and it's getting them in trouble. It's getting them to a place where they're going further down in sin, or they're going out and getting involved in stuff that they shouldn't be in one way or another. Listen, folks, tonight, if we reject him, the only thing that'll happen is something worse. Mark the 8th chapter, 31st verse. It says here that, and he began to teach them that the Son of Man suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. Teach them. He was trying to get a message of love and mercy and pity and compassion. John the Baptist come down and started the way. And then Jesus come along and picked it up and went from there. Oh, tonight, listen, Jesus is still picking up the way. He's still working. He's still calling. He's still dealing. Listen, you're here because of the mercy of God. Oh, tonight, have you rejected him in this meeting? John 1 and 11. John 1 and 11. It says he came into his own and his own received him not. He came into his own. And his own redeemed him not. Think about that love tonight. We sang about it. And we're blessed by it. But listen, folks, tonight, love is love. But the only way that it's really widely, how do I want to say this? In other words, the only way it's really blossomed is for you to accept that love. If you approach a girl, a man approaches a lady, and she rejects that love, there's pain. There's a lot of pain. I've been there. I've done that. I've had that. And consequently, there's a lot of men. And today there is people that even are married people, and there's been a rejection, and things are falling apart in the marriage. And then all of a sudden, people decide, I'm going to get a gun. I'm going to solve this. And they get out and they kill this one and that one. I'm talking about the wife, maybe the children, themselves, all because of rejection. Listen, folks, rejection is also dangerous. You decline it, you deny it, you dismiss it, you eject it, you refuse it, you renounce it. I'm going to tell you there's going to be some pain involved. Let's go to 1 Samuel 8 and 1. 1 Samuel 8 and 1. Tonight, when's the last time you rejected Christ? Have you rejected him here? Has he talked to you here in this meeting? Has he called and invited and tugged at your heart and begged you to please, let's do things different? Have you done that here in this meeting? And you said, no, Lord, I'm not quite ready. When are you going to be ready? How long is it going to take? How many times are you going to have to knock? How many times are you going to have to call? Listen, folks, today, if it wasn't for the mercy of God, they would be poor people cut off. But because of the mercy, he extends a hand of conviction again. He extends a hand of mercy again, of love, of pity and compassion. But there is people that keep refusing, rejecting, turning him down. And it came to pass when Samuel was old, and he made his sons judges over Israel. And the name of the firstborn was Joel, and the name of the second, Abiah. They were judges in Beersheba. And his son walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre and took bribes and perverted judgment. Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel unto Ramah and said unto him, Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, Give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, Hearken unto the voice of the people, and all that they say unto thee. For they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. According to all the works which they have done, since the day that I brought them out of Egypt, even unto this day wherewith, they have forsaken me and served other gods, so do they also unto thee. Now he said, Lord said unto Samuel, Hearken unto the voice of the people, and all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me. God had been good to Israel. He had done things for them, and they kept messing up over and over and over. So now then, they not rejected thee, but they rejected me, that I should not reign over them. You know the problem with a lot of people tonight? They don't want somebody reigning over them. They don't want somebody working and leading and guiding. And so consequently, they put their hands out and say, no, I don't want that. I don't want somebody reigning over me. I don't want somebody being my king, so to speak. Listen, folks, it's not in man to guide his own steps. It's not in man to lead his own life. Listen, there's a lot of people that's led their own lives and ended up in a ditch, ended up in a bad place, ended up in a river or whatever, that have got themselves into trouble because they tried to lead themselves and they didn't want Jesus or another person reigning over them. Listen tonight. We need to allow Christ to reign. We need to make him King of Kings and Lord of Lords of our hearts. Let him work with us. Let him deal with us. Let him call us and lead us and guide us. Listen, folks, tonight, if we don't, we're going to end up in a bad way. I'm thankful I allowed him to do that in 1971. Oh, tonight, let's go to Jeremiah 8 and 7. Jeremiah 8 and 7. We have a couple of three places here I want to read. Brother Ivan, get me John 12 and 48, I believe it is. John 12 and 48. Jeremiah 8 and 7. Yea, the stork in heaven knoweth their appointed times, and the turtle and the crane and the swallow observe the time of their coming, but my people know not the judgment of the Lord. How do we say we are wise and the law of the Lord with us? Lo, certainly in vain made he it, the pen of the scribes is in vain. The wise men are ashamed. They're dismayed and taken. Lo, they rejected the word of the Lord, and what wisdom is in them. Therefore will I give their wives unto others and their fields to them that shall inherit them. For lo, one from the least, even unto the greatest, is given to covetousness, from the prophet, even unto the priest, and everyone that dealeth falsely. Now he said here, the wise men are ashamed, and they are dismayed and taken. Lo, they rejected the word of the Lord. And what wisdom is in them? All right, let's turn back to the 6th chapter of Jeremiah, and the 18th verse. 6 and 18. Therefore hear ye nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it. All right, John 12 and 48, I believe it is.
He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words, hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day.
You can do what you want with the word of God, but you're going to deal with it someday down the road. There ain't no way that we can be born and live and die without dealing with this word somewhere. Because the Lord himself is going to use it to call after us. The Lord is going to work with us with the word of God. And so consequently, this was written. This is the most powerful, wonderful, holy, godly book that's ever been put out. It's a book of eternal life. It's a book that'll get you to heaven by the power of God and by the blood of God and the workings of the Spirit of God and the grace of God. That's going to get you and I to heaven. And if we reject this word, if we turn it down, folks, we're going to get ourselves in a lot of trouble. Where's the United States today? They rejected this word over and over and over. There's less people going to church now than there've ever been. And the bottom line is, they keep rejecting. And then this spirit is moved in, and that spirit is moved in, because they haven't stayed with the word of God. Listen, the doctrines of God were given for the blessings of his people, and for the blessings of all people, really. So consequently tonight, if we turn this word down, there's going to be some serious, serious consequences. Serious consequences. So tonight, have you been turning this word down? He said here, how do you say we are wise and the law of the Lord is with us? Lo, certainly in vain made he at the pen of the scribes in vain. The wise men are ashamed. They're dismayed and taken. Lo, they've rejected the word of the Lord. And what wisdom is in them? Now, there's people out there say we got a lot of wisdom. But the wisdom that's really right is right here in this word. Inspired by the Spirit of God. I've had him come along at times. I was baffled at what to do or what to say or whatever. And I've had him come along and work with the Word of God and help me to understand this is what I want you to do. There's powerful wisdom. Said, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God who give to all men liberally and upbraid it not. The Lord wants us to have wisdom, and he wants it to come from this right here and from the mouth of the Almighty God. So how many of us has rejected the Word tonight? The Word teaches against a lot of things. It helps us to know you shouldn't do this or you shouldn't do that. Tonight, are we rejecting God because we like to tamper with a little bit of alcohol? Maybe a little bit of this or that, and I don't know much about any of that stuff, don't care to. But there's a lot of people that's in a drunken grave tonight. Because they wouldn't listen to the Word of God. They went on and done the things that they wanted to do. They wanted to taste that liquor. They wanted the high that it gives. But the bottom line is it destroyed life one right after another. Are you rejecting Christ because you like the bottle tonight? Have you rejected the Lord because you smoked a little bit and you like that? I've never been drunk in a night in my life. I've never had a cigarette in my mouth, and I thank God I didn't. But tonight, there's a lot of people that take of it, and they begin to get wanting more and more and more. Smoking destroys people. Drinking destroys people. Drugs destroys people. There's thousands upon thousands right now in some of our major cities that, I guess, if I understand it right, the city themselves have basically given them the drugs, given it to them. Where is the sense of the people of the United States? The reason is they've got away from the Word of God. They've walked away from it. And they've turned it down. And like Brother Curtis Ray preached, the light that they've rejected is destroying them. Oh, tonight, drinking, smoking, gambling. Oh, I go down the street south and there's this casino. I can go north a little bit and go west, and there's a casino. I can go almost straight west of the house, and there's a casino. I can get on I-40 and head to Oklahoma City, and there's a casino. I've been by casinos at 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning because I was out praying for the sick that the Lord would bless them. And guess what? There was cars in that parking lot at 1 and 2 and 3 in the morning. Shame on the devil. A businessman told me, he said that a lawyer told him, he said, listen, said, you would be shocked if you know the destruction that gambling is doing to the town of Shawnee. You'd be shocked if you knew how much destruction it's doing. Listen, I've had a sister that was destroyed by gambling. I have no use for it. If it was me to do it, I would destroy every gambling casino in the whole United States. All right, let's turn to a little bit more. What about education? Are you wanting that big degree? Are you rejecting God tonight because, well, I want to be this, and I got to do this to get there? Let me give you some advice. Seek God first. Get saved, get sanctified, and live for Him, and let Him show you what He wants you to do. I was in education. What I mean, I was going to college. I got into business in 1973 in the fall. I started in college in 1971. I was headed for a CPA, or accountant degree. That's what I wanted, accountant. And the reason I did is because I wanted to be a businessman, and I wanted to know the different things where I'd know how to work with things better than I would otherwise. Well, the bottom line was, Jesus, in saving me in 71, and then, as I'm going to school, I got into business. Things begin to change. I started pulling back on the education. And in 1975, he gave me the call, I want you to preach the gospel. Guess what happened then? Now then, in a sense, I never did use much of my college, in a sense. But the bottom line is education in the Word of God. education in the doctrines of God. Education's in the things that God wants for you and I is the education we need. Well, I want to make a lot of money. Jesus can give you some money. He'd been paying my bills for over 40 years, helping pay them. I've worked some. I've traveled. I've been about 28 years in evangelistic work and 20 years pastoring. And I've had these things given and so forth. The bottom line is Jesus has the best education of anybody I know of in the world. Young people, you need to seek God. You need to allow Him to save and sanctify and do what He wants you to do so that He can lead you and guide you, because you may want to go for a big education. He may want you to do totally something else. What about a worldly boyfriend or girlfriend? That right there has derailed a lot of people. But I got news for you. There's not a girlfriend or a boyfriend that should be had that's unsaved. You need to get somebody that is saved. You need to get somebody that you know is wanting to do the will of God, that's wanting to live for Him. I spent a lot of time praying, and I didn't take it lightly. And finally, I got to the place. She said, Carl, we're going to have to do one or two things. We're either going to have to get married or we're going to have to break up. We're getting too close. I went home and I started fasting and praying. And I went in my bedroom and got on my knees and started begging, and the Lord began to deal with me. He showed me a type of a film strip. And in that film strip, He showed me every prayer that I'd prayed and every prayer that He had answered. And He said, how many more do you need? What more do you need, child? I've done showed you this is the one, so to speak. Go for it. I didn't want to make a mistake. You don't want to make a mistake. You want the boy or the girl that God has for you. And that person can be the greatest blessing that you can ever have. Some people say, well, I want this one or that one. You want the will of God. Young people, you want the will of God. Whether you're a preacher or whether you're not a preacher, the bottom line is you still want the will of God, because that person can be a great blessing to you. So are you rejecting the Lord because of a boyfriend? Somebody you want as a boyfriend, or somebody you want as a girlfriend, and you know God wouldn't be pleased with that? You better put that on the back burner and seek God. And I'm talking about seeking. I'm talking about fasting and praying. How many of you in here has rejected? I've talked about this a little bit. But tonight, we are here because of the workings of the Spirit of God. And tonight, we're here because the Lord is wanting to talk to us about getting saved, about getting sanctified, whatever it might be. Tonight, are you rejecting the Lord? He's calling you to be saved. He's calling you to a better life. He's calling you to a higher life. He's calling to bring you up and out. Set your feet on a solid rock and establish your goings. And you're turning Him down. You're rejecting Him. I don't want that. Oh, preacher, don't talk like that. Well, I ain't going to shut up. You might as well forget that. But I got a burden tonight. And I want you to come to the place where you're seeing that you're rejecting the one that can do more for you than anybody else in the world. There's good wives and there's good husbands. There's good fathers and good mothers. I ain't met nobody like Jesus. Mother, Brother Lawrence and Sister Maybelle Pruitt. Some of you don't even know who I'm talking about. They come to the house in 1971 in the spring. And Mama asked them, said, is there any nice saved girls in Guthrie congregation? Yeah. Guess where I was the next camp meeting? I was in Guthrie, Oklahoma. Mama wanted me to get married to a good girl. Well, I appreciate that. Wanted me to have a saved girl. I wasn't even saved. Well, that fall, I met the love of my life, so to speak, in Jesus Christ. Excuse me, Molly, but I met Him first. And I was married to him a number of years before I ever got married the second time. The second time, you'll say it that way. And then the third time. But listen tonight, When I met Jesus, I met the spouse of spouses. I met the one that done for me that nobody else could do, praise God. He has brought me up and out. He has healed my body. He's made joy and peace and laughter. He's done things that nobody else could do. He's had people bring money to my door and give it to me when I had to have some money or send it in the mail. Oh, he's come along. Recently was Christmas, and the world is singing, Santa Claus is coming to town. You know what I was singing? Salvation had been brought down. Forget Santa Claus. Give me Jesus, praise God. That's the one I want. In my Savior, the one that's done so much for me and will for you tonight. Listen, are you rejecting him when he's saying, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He wants to give you something. That's the best thing you can have tonight is salvation. The best. I'm talking about the best of best. How many of you is maybe rejecting the Lord in this meeting because he's calling you to sanctification? Calling you to be filled with the Holy Ghost and power. Calling you to have one that works within you and leads and guides and directs and encourages and inspires and just answers prayer and does things wonderful for you. There's a lot of people that turn sanctification down. There is some that has got it, and I guess thought they had it and didn't have it and so forth. But the bottom line is, I'm going to tell you, if he's calling you for sanctification tonight, don't reject that. Don't reject the Holy Spirit, because the Lord let it be known, I'm going to go back and I'm going to send forth the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, mind you, the one that works and lives inside of you, that has got the greatest power to help you with all of your pain and all of your sorrow and all of your anguishes and anything else you got problems with. Sanctification. A lot of people want to run from this. Instead of running to it, they want to run from it, Brother Ivan. I'm going to tell you, you need to run to it. When he starts calling and encouraging you to have the Holy Spirit, I want to tell you, you better run for it. Run right to it, not away from it. Don't reject it. There have been people that rejected it over and over and over and got themselves into trouble. There was a man, I'm going to back up just a hair here. There was a man in Kentucky that was in a tent meeting, or a camp meeting, I guess it was. And I've been in Kentucky many times, made a lot of trips over there, been in a lot of meetings over there, a lot of services over there. And the Lord started dealing with him to get saved. He was a man that had been a powerful physician, but he used that power to defraud a company. And he knew that if he got saved, that if he started confessing, he would probably end up in the pen. So he come to the altar and he prayed and he prayed and he prayed up to that, and he got up and he walked away. This happened two or three nights. Finally, he decided, I'm going to do it by himself in the tent up on the hillside. And when he prayed through, he got so blessed, he was shouting so loud, he was waking people up in the camp. He was blessed. Well, guess what happened to him? Did he go to prison? No. The Lord worked the whole thing out. He kept rejecting because something was there that he thought was going to end up him in a bad way. Listen, folks, let's not listen to the devil, but listen to Christ and let him work in our lives, praise God. Just open up and turn loose and say, Lord, have your way. And he'll work it all out. He's done it over and over and over. Sanctification. Don't turn that down. What about a gift or a calling? Brother Marty was preaching on the gift this morning. Listen, there is God. Somebody said, well, I don't want to be a preacher. I didn't either. That's the last thing I wanted to do. I wanted to be a businessman. I wanted to be this, wanted to be that, but I sure didn't want to be a preacher. To be honest with you, I'm not so sure I want to do it now, but I'm doing it because I'm called to do it. I have to do it because I have an eternal call, and he let me know you're going to preach. I want you to preach. Well, there's people say, well, I don't want to have to go to Africa like Brother Michael, or don't want to go to India like Brother Clint. I don't want to go down to old Mexico like this one or that one. Listen, folks, tonight, don't resist or reject your calling. He's got something for you, and he wants to use you to be a blessing to other people. And so consequently, he's giving the call. I have a gift for you. I have a way. Oh, tonight, don't turn it down. I beg you, don't turn it down. There was a message preached right here in Guthrie several years ago. And later I found out that that particular message was what really began to wind it down for a young man that God was dealing with, and he accepted it. He accepted it, and guess what? He'd been a blessing to the saints. He'd been a blessing. He's young, and I love him to death. Known him all of his life. Knew his mama from a child up. But the bottom line is, folks, we can turn it down. We can reject it if we want to, but you're not only going to hurt yourself, but you're going to hurt God. You're going to hurt the Father, Son, the Holy Ghost, and the whole church. And other souls, too. There are people out there that need us. And I'm not talking about preachers altogether. I'm talking about any gift in the body that he wants to give you. And he may start off with one and then have another and another. He may give you three or four gifts. Sometimes I get a little envious of some of these brethren that can preach, they can teach, they can sing, they can do it all. And I can barely get in the pulpit. Oh, tonight, Lord help us. Don't turn your gift to your calling now. What about divine healing? Are you rejecting God because of the doctrine of divine healing? Watch out now, Brother Carl. Are you resisting and rejecting the deeper depths of faith and understanding in God that the Lord wants to get you to help you to be a blessing to other people, to your companion, to your children, to aunts, uncles, cousins, brothers, sisters, mamas, daddies, whoever? Is the Lord, are you rejecting what the Lord is wanting? He's calling you to a depth of divine healing, to trust him. Trust me. The Lord wants us to trust him. All right, what about the judgment? There's different things on the judgment. When I say the judgment, I'm talking about when the Babylon's teaching, you know, there's going to be a 1,000-year reign and all that, and then we teach that's not going to be. Are you having problems with that and rejecting the Lord on that? I know a person that said for years, heard him say it. I've heard preaching, they said, on the judgment over and over. And they'd been around the saints, they'd been in meetings and so forth for many years. And said, I've heard the teaching on it, but said it's never happened. Said it's never happened. That don't mean it ain't going to happen. Just because you might have heard it for all these years and it ain't happened, that doesn't mean it's not going to happen. Are you, and this is kind of tying in with thought on being gift, calling, sanctification, but being led by the Spirit. Are you rejecting Christ's leadings on anything tonight? He's trying to lead you and guide you and direct you, and you're kind of going, no, I don't want to do that. I'm sorry, but I don't want to. Listen tonight, there ain't no sorries to it. The bottom line is you just need to say yes. Say yes. Well, I want you to go down. Well, I've been down for 2 months nearly, and I'm glad I see you all, I guarantee, because I've only been in 3 services before I got here. I've only preached twice in 2 months. Well, this will be the third time in 2 months. But the bottom line is, I was reading one of the books I read was the one that Brother Murphy Allen wrote. And he talked about that he was in a meeting one time, and the Lord started dealing with him and said, I want you to go out on the street and preach to the people. And he goes, Lord, I don't have no singers. I don't have anybody to help me. That's fine. I want you to go out anyway. And he didn't want to do it. Lord leading and him rejecting, so to speak. Finally, he got down. He was down at the chapel, wherever this was. I don't remember. He even said where he was. And he got at the altar, and he prayed through, and he went out, and he preached to the people. Being led by the Spirit. Listen, there was a man one time that went in a chapel, and the Lord led him there. And he walked in, and there wasn't a soul in that building. And he looked all around and said, Lord, there ain't nobody here to preach to. I don't know about the rest of you, but it is nice to have souls to preach to when you get in the pulpit. And there wasn't nobody there. The Lord said, I want you to preach what I give you. And he said, there ain't nobody here. I said, preach. And he did. And then several months later, a man come up to him and he said, do you remember, brother, that you was in a so-and-so place and you preached a message that morning? Yeah. He said, well, what you didn't know that I was hiding in that building and I heard the message and I got saved off that message. Now that's a strange deal, so to speak, but God knows what he's doing. He knows who's where and when, and he knows if you'll move according to the dictates of the Spirit, you can be an extra blessing. Are you holding back? Are you rejecting being led by the Spirit tonight? All right, let's wrap it up. Let's go to 1 Samuel 15. 1 Samuel 15. We'll be through here. 15 and 22 and 23. 1 Samuel 15, 22, 23. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight. Now this is when David, no, this is when Saul got himself into trouble. And the Lord had sent him to do a destroy people and everything and not to bring anything back and leave, just do exactly what he told him to do. But he didn't do things right. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. Now this is a man I believe the Lord loved. But he didn't do what the Lord asked him to do. I believe it was that Samuel, he said, here's what I hear the people took. See, where's that? Where it talks about the lowing. Doesn't it say about the lowing of the ox and so forth? And he said, well, what about this? And then he just nailed him. He just nailed him for rebellion. A lot of rebellion in our country today, and there may be rebellion right here in this chapel tonight. There is definitely could be some rejection, and as a sin of witchcraft and stubbornness, it, as is iniquity and idolatry, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, thou hast the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. Rejected him from being king. He took it away from him. Listen, folks, we need to do what the Lord wants us to do right down to everything he asks. Like that one preacher. Now, he could have turned around and walked out that building and said, well, ain't nobody here to preach to. I'm going home. But he didn't do that. And one person got saved. All right, let's go to Mark 10 and 17. Mark 10 and 17. He says here, this is about the, and when he was gone forth in the way, there came one running and kneeled him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said to him, master, all these have I observed from my youth. Listen, folks, this man right here was better than a whole lot of the young people out there today. They're breaking everything that Jesus talked about here. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said to him, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and take up thy cross and follow me. And he was sad at that saying. And he went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Lord, have mercy. He come to Christ. He was right there with him. Jesus was responding to him and told him exactly what he needed to do. And yet this young man, because of money, rejected what the Lord said. And he went away. Listen tonight. Jesus, beholding him, loved him. The Lord loves you tonight. He loves you with an everlasting love. And said, one thing thou lackest. It wasn't a whole bunch of things. He was already a good guy, so to speak. Go thy way and sell whatsoever thou hast and give unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Now, if he said you're going to be broke the rest of your life, that'd been a little bit different. But he said, thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Listen, you want something good, get treasure in heaven. Get the great things. Get that thing started up there. Get that all going up there. And the Lord will take care of what you need down here. The Lord has given. I've been reading two or three books. And I'm going to tell you, it thrilled my soul to read these old timers. And I thought, well, it ain't that away today. But the reason is because the whole everything different than it was. But there have been people back there. Women, in particular, are couples that in the middle in a bad snowstorm, and they was running out of food or run out of wood, and they was in desperate needs, and they begged and they prayed and they pleaded to God. They weren't anything special but a saint of God, and they prayed to the Lord, and the Lord answered prayer and sent somebody over there with exactly everything they needed. Listen, folks. Listen, thou shalt have treasure in heaven. That fellow that got in that sleigh or whatever, and hooked up them horses and loaded up this and that and that and that. Don't you think he's going to have a little treasure over there? Sure he is. Because he done what the Lord wanted him to do. Listen, this young man had his eyes on the Lord thing. Let's get our eyes exalted. Let's get it on the treasure, the great treasure, praise God. Commodore Vanderbilt, very wealthy man. He was very sick. He thought he was going to die. So he stepped out of his room about a story up over another lady that worked for him. He looked down at her and said, is it true that the Bible said that the rich man can't go into heaven? And I don't remember what she told him. But the bottom line, it was bothering him. I got all this money. Listen, you can be a Walton. You can be I can't think of all the names of these rich people. You can be some of them, but the bottom line, money don't buy salvation. Money don't get you into heaven. Money will not do for you to help you at the end of your life. Listen, you need a salvation, sanctification, and everything the Lord had for you tonight. But forget the money and all that it takes. Listen, he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns all the oil wells in Oklahoma and Texas too. One thing thou lackest. Are you lacking one thing tonight? You lacking salvation? Are you lacking sanctification? What are you lacking tonight? Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and take up your cross and follow me. That's all you got to do. Follow me. Jesus Christ, follow me. And I will give you blessings and help you and bless you beyond what you could ask or think. But he was sad at that sin, and he went away grieved. He rejected it right there. All right, Acts the 8th chapter. Acts the 8th chapter. And I'm not going to read all this because time's gotten away. Acts the 8th chapter, where the Lord come along and talked to Philip, I believe it was. And Philip, I believe, was in a meeting. And the Lord told him, said, I want you to go down to a certain place, and I want you to go down there, and he done that, and he saw a chariot come along and a man in that chariot. And so I believe maybe he saw him reading something. Anyway, he went and he joined himself to the chariot and asked him, said, you understand what thou readest? Now the Lord sent Philip down there for one soul. One. He sent me over on the mountainside in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and I preached to one soul over there. One soul. I'm going to tell you, we had blessings and blessings because I listened to the word of the Lord. And Philip gets down there and he starts talking to this person. And he starts bringing things out and he opened it up and he revealed what God showed him and taught him. And the man said, I believe with all of my heart. What hinders me from being baptized? He said, do you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? I believe on him with all of my heart, I believe, he said. He stopped the deal, got out, baptized him. Man got in the chariot and Philip was caught away and went to do something else. Listen, that man didn't reject. He could have. And nobody there could have seen it and know maybe anything about it, but two people. But he didn't reject it, folks. He said, I want this. Give it to me. Listen to not, I want to beg you. Let him give it to you. Surrender. All right, the last scripture, Lamentations 5:22. The Lord wants to help people here tonight. Last verse. But thou hast utterly rejected us. This is talking about God. Turn thou us unto thee, O Lord, and we will be turned. Renew our days as of old. But thou hast utterly rejected us. Thou art very wroth against us. Now, folks, God is love. But there's another part of God, and people don't want to think about this, and I've preached on it different times down through the years. There's a wrath of God. And wrath is stirred up anger, so to speak. And not just anything, it's something that's really, somebody really upset when the wrath is really stirred. God's wrath is stirred at America tonight. God's wrath is stirred at individuals tonight. And he said, thou hast utterly rejected us. Listen, there is no rejection like the rejection of God. Amen. There is no rejection like that rejection. You can reject everybody in here. You can reject a boy or a girl. You can do all kinds of things. But let me tell you tonight, when you hear him say, depart from me, you cursed into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels, there's nothing going to stop that. When you get to that point, you're going to be in deep trouble. And hell will be your home. Let's stand and have a number. Are you rejecting Christ tonight? Are you rejecting what the Holy Spirit is begging and pleading in this meeting? It's been a good meeting, and I ain't been in hardly any of it. But the bottom line is, Jesus is here. It's time to respond. We appreciate your time, your prayers. Pray for me.